In the light, there is darkness, but don't take it as darkness. In the dark, there is light, but don't see it as light. Light and dark oppose one another, like the front and back foot in walking. In Mahayana Buddhism, and certainly in this tradition of Zen Buddhism, the teaching is, or the view is, that nirvana or liberation is right here. That there is no other place it could be. In the light, there's darkness. In this world of manyness, multiplicity, there's unity, there's wholeness. The famous Vietnamese Zen teacher Thich Nhat Hanh uses the image of rose and garbage to illustrate this in a way. That garbage becomes compost, and the young rose plant takes nourishment from the compost. And in time, a rose blooms. And then, of course, it fades and falls and becomes the garbage maybe that we sweep up and we put in the compost bin. And Thich Nhat Hanh tells us that if we look closely, we can see the garbage in the rose and the rose in the garbage. Just as when we look closely at a piece of paper, we can see the tree, rain, sunlight, and other elements that unfolded and came together to make a sheet of paper. And yet, we must treat the rose as a rose, the compost as compost, and the sheet of paper as a sheet of paper. In the light, clearly seeing the uniqueness of things, the individuality of things, we must act. While we also acknowledge the darkness, we don't act as if there is only darkness, as if there's only oneness. In the world of light, this world of separateness, we must act with compassion, kindness, and mindfulness. We don't act as if there's only darkness, only oneness. This reminds me, a number of years ago, I don't remember where I was reading this. It was a reflection on the view that hippies often had about life. And a little piece, snippet of dialogue was given. And it was young man asking his girlfriend, do you love me? And she said, of course I love you, I love everybody. Not quite the answer he was hoping for. Also act and acknowledge this world of separateness, uniqueness. We can acknowledge the unity of the rose and the compost, but each also has its function and its place. So often we really fail to see those who are around us. When we're hurt or angry, the person before us, even if he or she is a deeply loved one, or maybe especially a loved one, that person can become totally other, totally separate, even alien. You've had that experience when you're angry at somebody? That in my hurt, in the hurt, we become blind to oneness. I'm lost in a world of separateness when enveloped in anger. To appreciate both light and dark, oneness and separateness, is to hold in some way the person's distinctiveness and their universality. Perhaps while holding our own painful reaction, we can gently acknowledge the twisted karmic roots that we all share, the roots that cause us to become entangled in what's known in Buddhism as the eight worldly winds, those winds of pain and pleasure, loss and gain, fame and disrepute, praise and blame. Perhaps in this way, when anger arises, for example, if we can hold that wider view of both separateness and oneness, then maybe that anger will not isolate us, but transform into a strong concern and energy. I don't think Sherdo here is telling us literally that within darkness there is light and within light there is darkness. Rather, he is using words to describe for us the great paradox of our lives. Clearly, we get the world of separation. And we can appreciate with some struggle the world of oneness. However, the teaching in this poem is that life is not one or the other. Life does not flip-flop from one to the other. It's both at the same moment. We are both separate, unique, and one with all things. And really, you know, I think if we look closely, our lives are filled with paradox. Only we don't notice. We love our friends, our spouses, our children, and yet at the same moment we can be really furious at them, really angry at them, for example. And what happens to that love? Is it not still there? I think it is. But sometimes we become deeply confused with our life of paradox, the paradoxical aspects of our life. You know, those times, for example, when you both want to go and stay. You want to speak up and you want to remain quiet. You want to complete the task and get it done with, and you want to rest. And sometimes we become so confused we don't know what our truth is because we think it has to be one or the other. But maybe in those moments it's both. In our practice and through our practice, we learn how to live in both the light and dark, both in harmony with the world, moving in harmony with the world, acting when it's time to act, remaining still when it's time to remain still. Through the aspect of darkness, of unity, we see beyond the separateness. And so take the world and ourselves a little less seriously. And through the light, we act as the occasion calls for us to do. We act with deep sincerity. Light and dark are dynamic, like walking, constantly changing, from our point of view. And just as when we pay too much attention to one leg or the other, we can't walk smoothly, we practice to allow light and dark to be fully expressed without favoring one or the other. The poem goes on. Each of the myriad things has its merit, expressed according to function and place. Phenomena exist, box and lid fit. Principle responds, arrow points meet. This reminded me of a quote from the Bible. Castellis 3, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And if you went to Sunday school, you could probably continue on, right? And goes on. Each of the myriad things has its merit expressed according to function and place. Everything arises for a reason. Sometimes it's karma arising from intention. And that's the Buddhist understanding of karma. It arises from intention. And sometimes, just from a mostly unknown complex of causes. Catching a cold, getting stuck in traffic, having your house washed away in a tsunami, loss of loved ones through an earthquake. From the Buddhist understanding, that's not karma. That's just a myriad complex of causes that has arisen. In our practice, we don't cling or push away, but we turn to see clearly what has arisen, allowing it to be there. So rather than label an experience as good or bad, trying to hold on to something or trying to escape, we open to what the moment brings without becoming entangled. We open to what the moment brings without becoming entangled. What do I mean? Well, when a loved one dies, we cry. And deep sadness and longing arises. What could be more natural? When we dwell on all we should have done and said, over and over again, entangling our heart with harsh words, denying the world's call for us to walk forward, and then we have lost the way. And we have distorted, perhaps, the function and the place of grief. We open to what the moment brings without becoming entangled. Next line of poem. Phenomena exist, box and lid fit. Principle responds, arrow points meet. Now this line is a little bit confusing, perhaps, because one of the Chinese language conventions is using various forms of abbreviation. In this case, phenomena and principle, another kind of pair of words meaning the manyness of the world and the oneness of the world, the separateness and the unity. So when you see phenomenon principle, it actually refers to both at the same time. So, these two aspects, manyness and oneness, they are like the box and the lid fitting, snug, without resistance, in complete harmony. They are as two arrows shot towards each other that meet in midair. Light and dark fit together perfectly, meet each other perfectly. They are a paradox that is completely harmonious, like the wave-particle duality of light. Our life and the world around us is the duality of oneness and uniqueness. So, hearing the words, understand the meaning. Don't set up standards of your own. If you don't understand the way right before you, how you know the path as you walk? Progress is not a matter of far or near, but if you are confused, mountains and rivers block your way. I respectfully urge you who study the mystery, do not pass your days and nights in vain. So this last part of the poem, I think, is pretty clear. At least clearer than the other parts. Sherdo cautions us to try understand, but don't create truth in your own mind. Try to understand, but don't create the truth in your own mind. In other words, hold your ideas, your concepts, your doctrines, your beliefs, memories, understandings, hold them lightly as a view. It's just a view, rather than as absolute truth. When you think, I've got it, then you're in trouble. And those ideas, concepts, doctrines, beliefs, or memories become mountains and rivers that block your way. The way right before you is your very life itself. In studying our life, we come to know the path. This is the heartwood of our practice. Zazen is the study of our life. We sit and we just look at our life. And for that time, letting go, releasing our ideas, our concepts, our doctrines, our beliefs, our thoughts about it. We just look deeply. The teachings, the sutras, the teachers, the techniques, and the practices are all just fingers pointing at our life. Look, look at our life. As Dogen Zenji says in the Shobo Genzo, remember Dogen Zenji was the Japanese priest who brought this form of Buddhism from China to Japan, and a great teacher. He said, to study the Buddha way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be actualized by the myriad things of the world. When actualized by the myriad things, your body and mind, as well as the body and minds of others, drop away. All concepts of me, of my body, of others, everything drops away. And he ends very poetically. No trace of enlightenment remains. And this no trace continues endlessly. Well, I think we did it. With time for tea, no less. And I thought tonight what would be nice to do, rather than, you know, get together and talk in little groups, is just to hear what each person kind of takes away from this. Not in any great depth, but a little bit. Some of you have been here for a couple of sessions, some for more, some for maybe just one. Perhaps Dave just one. But maybe we can just see what, if anything, has been helpful.